Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
There is nothing that I enjoy more than a walk. And especially a walk when I'm at our cottage in South Carolina. Simple, reflective walks along oyster shell roads that meander through live oaks. I don't have a care in the world walking there. The trees, they stand around me like poems to perseverance and perpetuity. Monstrous, gargantuan trees that move around in the morning breeze like an animation from Pixar. You can see them, their limbs, those massive limbs swaying back and forth, up and down, as if dancers in a ballroom. At night, sometimes, I sit on the porch in a rocking chair watching them move. And I especially like to see them when a storm approaches because they become frantic, the lightning interrupting their secret nocturnal dance with every flash. These trees are like companions to me. They walk with me in that land, in that place. They surround me with everything that I do there. Sometimes I sense that they're reaching for me. And I begin to wonder about all the other people for whom they've reached. These trees stand on a coastal island, an island settled in the late 1600s, if you forget the people that were already there. And these trees, they've been there almost the entire time that humans have been. Their girth, massive girth, containing hundreds of rings. I'm not naive. I'm not even tragically romantic in the way we Southerners like to be. At least I hope I'm not. Because some things under their branches, even romanticism will not scrub clean. Some of their branches having borne the actual weight of oppression and despair. If I were one of those trees, you know, I think that I would have shed some of those branches and their history a long time ago. But I swear to you, sometimes when I walk among the trees, some of the most majestic among them seem to have held onto their branches purposefully, their limbs reaching back to the ground, where blood was shed, as if the tree were praying, as if the praying were asking forgiveness, as if the tree played a part in it. Toward the middle of my typical walk, underneath a special set of those trees, the Spanish moss hanging all the way down toward the ground, there stands a graveyard. The names are chiseled into the stone. You can still see them there. Names from another era on what a plantation was to be from the 750s onward. And next to the man and his wife, and their headstones stand several small ones right after. Lives that ended too soon for their family. Samuel Beckett. His wife, Sarah. Their son, Samuel Jr. And then several infants without names. And of course, there are other stones as well. But sometimes when I walk there, I stop and pause at the middle of my walk, wondering as I wonder whose names are not there, because they didn't have place or position, but because negligence or just being the wrong color or not having land or being of the wrong creed didn't give you a place in perpetuity. My walks only tell me the names of the people who had the property, the prestige, the family right and name for a stone into eternity. I don't know the other people who are buried there, the names of the lives lost. But I can also tell you this. The land tells me their story. When I pay attention and look out at the marsh grass and see it blowing with the spirit, when I see the trees moving back and forth, and when I notice the flight of the egret and the blue heron, in that moment I know that the land somehow remembers and the spirit continues to tell the story. It's the story of death for sure. But for those who can bear it, it is also the story of life. For those that can listen and encounter and take it into the soul, the story likewise tells of resurrection. For the ebb and flow of nature in that place reverberates through the ages with a narrative of grace and forgiveness, of healing and reconciliation. You see, every generation knows what it is to say, "Lord, if you had been there, if you had just been there, then my brother or sister, my mother, father, son, daughter, friend would not have died. Lord, if you had been there, the call would have been different, and the dream would have become a reality." But likewise, my brothers and sisters, in God who is greater than any of us can imagine, likewise our Lord says that the dream is the life of the Spirit, that you are resurrected, that the dream is in you, living and breathing right now as the Spirit moves across the land and through the trees in you. For the sinews have come upon your bones. The muscles and the ligaments, they have come to your shell of dry bones, your valley, and God's Spirit blowing in you is connecting each part of you, reconnecting, reconciling you, so that the Spirit can dwell among you and the breeze can blow through the trees of life, touching all the branches that are praying for hope, forgiveness, and reconciliation. When we think, when we sit here casually and think that the work of bringing life into the world and new breath is God's work alone, God's prayer alone, we miss the point entirely. The coming of God into this world in Christ, the incarnation, the epiphany, the walking toward Jerusalem and cross and empty grave, the coming of the kingdom of the world here in the church as the Spirit blows in you and me, it is you and me. We must stop saying, "If you had been here, Lord, XYZ wouldn't have happened." We can no longer say, "I wish you had torn down the walls of injustice, God. I wish you had freed the captive. I wish you had fed the poor, the hungry, the oppressed. I wish you had hewn out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. I wish that you had transformed the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. I wish you'd been here, Lord, to do that. I'm so sorry that I'm here in my humanity and cannot do more. I'm so sorry that the trees bend toward the earth with branches that have borne the weight of our suffering for hundreds of years. I am so sorry that the birds of the air do not know redemption. To that, the spirit, the breeze, blows, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, my brother, you, my sister, with this faith that I give you, with your body, your resurrected body that I give you in this life, that you receive through God's Spirit, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. Thank God Almighty. Thank God Almighty that you are here. That you in your resurrected body in the kingdom is now spirit, in the Holy Spirit blowing through you. Thank God Almighty you are not dry bones. Don't stand in the church or in God's world saying, I wish you'd been here, Lord. Get out there where freedom and justice, reconciliation and peace call. Because in Christ we are no longer bound by our past. We are liberated to liberate others. So walk on. Walk on and just see what God can do for the holy and life-giving dream is true after all.